All right, so I guess we got the dinner time version of Out of Your Falcon Mind tonight, right?
I love it.
Yeah, man. So we got Aaron on the show tonight. We got we're gonna get out of here by 7:30. So let's get this thing going. And welcome in, folks. It is episode 163, Out of Your Falcon Mind, Atlanta Falcons fan cast. My name is John, your host, joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Cottrell, back after a week off, buddy.
I love it, man. I'm well rested, good to go. 163 is a lot, John. I'm just hearing you say that. That's a lot of episodes, buddy. I love it.
So we have for y'all that don't know, my kid plays baseball and that season's starting to ramp up again. So he's been rehabbing from a shoulder or a arm injury. So he's had some extra stuff going on. So last week got messed up on Thursday. And this week, the coach threw in another practice tonight, 8 o'clock. Our season starts on Saturday. So, you know, so we had to rearrange the times here to get it in. So, you know, here we are. But yeah, we do have a special guest on the show. Returning back to the show again, Mr. Aaron Freeman.
We got Aaron Freeman, buddy.
As Corey Woodruff, now this was hilarious. The green beans, he said, of Atlanta Falcons content creators. Not everyone, like, you know, wants to eat them, but they need them because it's healthy, you know, and it's good for you. You know what I mean? So like, I thought that was the funniest damn analogy I've heard for you, Aaron.
They're a favorite meal on Thanksgiving. So holidays, I'll take them. You can stomach me on holidays, basically.
You got it. I actually like green beans. Like, it's one of my
I know they're not on the top of most people's list.
Yeah, no, I actually do though. But I thought that was hilarious. But Aaron, man, thanks for coming by and joining us. This week, and then we tried to get on last week, but again, yeah, just schedule messed up. So
I gotta say, because it's hilarious. It's the first time that I knew, man, we made it, John, was when Aaron was on the first time. That's when I turned to John and said, man, I think we made it. I think we've arrived. And we got him back on the show. So
Mike, if you think 163 is a lot, I just checked. I think I'm over 1800, I think.
Oh my God, dude. That's surprising. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, that's insane, man. Yeah. But, I mean, so tonight, guys, on the show, obviously we got Aaron. We're going to be talking about kind of what Aaron's ideal kind of offseason might look like. We've got some questions from you guys from the mailbag that we put out there. And if you guys have any questions in the chat tonight, throw them in there. I'm going to star them, and when we get to that section, I'll come back and get your questions.
That fine helmet looking good in the background.
I don't know if you saw, Aaron. I got the Raheem Santoma, buddy.
I always wonder, like, you know, is it fixed? You know, like, did they see, is it just going to Falcon content creators and whatnot? You know, and I'm like,
I mean,
you know, when can I get mine? You know,
Well, see, the thing is, you got to create another account, you know, and just have it be like Aaron, whatever, you know, 123, you know, and then because I did it from my own personal account, so I didn't, you know, I didn't do it from the podcast account.
Unfortunately, I can't do that because my own personal account got suspended, and there's
which is the stupidest damn thing I've ever seen.
You've been suspended, so yeah,
I still can't believe that, but and we're going to talk about some needs outside of quarterback, edge, wide receiver that we all know that we really need, and then we'll get into some of just the hot topics that's been thrown around the last week or so. If y'all have been around at all on social media, you've seen the start or continuation of whatever you want to have you want to look at it. The Justin Fields Desmond Ridder war has been going on. That's been pretty exciting. I swear, dude, I tweeted the other day, like, I'm a second away from muting both Fields and Ridder, so I don't see anything. It's hard to take, man. Some of the stuff, it's like, come on. And then today, you know, it's reported that, you know, we're highly linked to Kirk Cousins, and, you know, Fields is, you know, as our boy Fleek put out a tweet earlier and said, man, I'm just going to sit back and wait. I said, hey, man, welcome aboard, brother. Welcome aboard. Like, that is what you're supposed to do the entire time. Like, you can't get caught up in this crap. Happens every year. So you just sit back and relax and don't take it too seriously, because you never know what's going to happen. Most of the time, whatever we think is going to happen, we end up wrong anyway. And that's, you know, and that doesn't matter who's running the team or who's running the organization. But before we get going, man, let's just jump in the chat. Do say what's up to the folks that are here. King Atlanta, what's up?
Atlanta, what up?
April, I'm going to start this. We'll come back and get your question. Appreciate you joining us. That just went down. Berto, what's up, buddy?
Berto, what up?
Chris, what's happening, man?
Chris, what up?
That's right. Over in the West Coast. I forgot. Yeah, man. Billy Goat, what's happening, dude?
Rise up. I like that name.
DJ, what's cracking, man?
DJ, what up?
Let's see. Marquise, what's going on,
Marquise,
man?
What up?
He said, I say we take Jared Verse or Latu at number 8. Could get a wide receiver or a second, third. Yeah, we could. We could. We'll talk about it, man. Paul Rose said, evening from the UK. Hey, man, what's going on, Paul?
Hey, UK.
Thanks for checking in, brother. Pablo said, my Papa boy, Wisdom, Aaron the Goat.
Pablo.
Hang on. Let's see. I thought I had that. You already did it. I had that sounder kind of. Okay. Like
you got to keep up with me, Johnny Yates.
I can't because I can't go back from the comments. It's too quick. It's too much to do. Damn it.
Midas, what up?
Midas,
he said, I'm on the clock and I'm out of my Falcon mind. Still in time. I love it, buddy. TP. What up?
I see you, brother. Susan, what's going on? Good to
Susan,
see you.
How you doing?
All right. So if y'all didn't see, Savion Mixon and I put out a video last week on quarterbacks, free agent quarterbacks, and also we threw in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. So, we just kind of went over different options that we had. And we have a new segment on the show. It's just that we're going to, we'll figure we'd debut it tonight called What's New. So, Mike, if you didn't know this, apparently Savion and I are a little racist.
Oh, because wow. I did not know that, Johnny.
We are racist because we kind of felt that the Justin Fields ceiling was a little higher than Ritter's. So a certain commenter came basically and said that, that just makes no sense to him, and we must be racist because of it, which was confusing on so many levels because I couldn't figure it out if it was like if he knew that Desmond was mixed or that was the case. Maybe we were racist toward the mixed people, and then I responded back very hey dude, like that's the conclusion you came to, like from what we were talking about, like we were just kind of pointing out certain things about the play and everything. I was like, it's just a difference of opinion, really. I was like, you can have your opinion, which is fine. We could definitely be wrong, which is also possible, and that's fine too. And he doubled down. He was like, nah, man. He's like, you can say however you want. You're a racist. I was like, man. And he said, Justin Fields will. No, he said Desmond will never be black. I'm responding back. I'm like, dude, do you actually know that I'm white? Like, you know, it's like the white guy that's responding to you right now. Like, I don't even know. So, I mean, just amazing, dude. But that guy got – so if you want to – hey, look, if you want to get blocked by us, there's not many ways to do it. But come comment with some dumb shit like that, calling us racist for no damn reason, and you'll get blocked. So he's blocked. But, so, Aaron, you ever had anything like that happen to you on your illustrious show?
The other day when I was talking about Jaden Daniels and I was talking about Justin Fields and I was kind of comparing him, and I was like, Justin Fields is not a great processor, right? That's been the bait knock on him. He'll turn down some throws. And I said a similar thing about Jaden Daniels. And one of the comments was, why does this narrative always come up with black quarterbacks in terms of the process? Which I think is a fair commentary because there has been historic, sort of things of being like, this guy can't process and all this various thing. But at least for me, I hope my listeners understand that, like, I don't just say things based off of skin color. I say things because I watch the film. And it's like, I think there are plenty of black quarterbacks that are great processors. It's not just like, hey, you're a black quarterback, you can't process. But like, my opinion on Justin Fields is based off of the last 3 years of him being in the NFL. And my opinion on Jaden Daniels, like, I think there are things on film that give me a little bit of pause on if he's seeing the field as well as a fifth-year starter probably should be seeing it, given, he started almost 60 games in college. And so that was basically – I had to clarify to that person because I think, someone was, suggesting that maybe, I might be a Republican or whatever you want to call it. No offense to any Republicans out there, but like, that's the last thing I am. So like anybody who calls me that, I'm just like, hey, pump the brakes, my guy. Like, hey, calm down. Yeah. Calm down.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I have no idea where they come up with some of this stuff, man. Cause I just, clearly, I went back and I was like, damn, did we say something that was kind of like on the line? I went back and watched it. It's like, no, nowhere close. It was just like not even remotely close to that, but hey, whatever. But the one of the big things, you've seen, And actually, Aaron, the last time we were on a show together, we were it was before the season, right? We were talking about like just some of the needs that we had, or not needs, but like kind of concerns that we had, and we were all kind of upbeat and, you know, excited, and, you know, the season went the way it went, and you know, here we are. But I guess we're excited again because, you know, we're in a good spot now, or seemingly in a good spot. But so a lot of the stuff, a lot of the discourse with Ritter, you know, was, you know, the fact he didn't have a QB coach. And I get that, you know, I get that sucks, but some folks act like the man was like locked in a closet during the week and wasn't allowed to talk to anybody. And like when he walked down the hallway, they were like, oh shit, here comes Desmond. Turn in. You know, like they don't even, you know, and I don't think it was that way. I mean, they had quarterback meetings every week. I mean, Dave Ragone played quarterback. He was the offensive coordinator. He wasn't calling plays on Sunday. So obviously he was working with, again, how much do you think that played a role in how that went this year?
I don't think it played much. I saw a lot of people complain about Dave Ragone and all throughout the season, which is fine. Like, you know, people are allowed to say whatever they want to say, you know. I've seen sort of like the revisionist history of like Arthur Smith having the offensive coordinator also be a quarterback coach is like this sort of like weird decision that was made. And I'm just like, plenty of NFL teams do that. So it's like, I don't think that's the issue. Like, now, if you want to question Dave Ragone's coaching ability, by all means,
sure,
you know, whatever, you know, he's with the Rams now, so I guess Matt Stafford's gonna suck now, so, you know, if that's the issue. But I don't know, like I just think, you know, you talk about how positive we were the last time, like it feels like we're such a far way removed from that 2-0 start. You remember when it was just all good vibes, right? That 2-0 start. I don't know, I think ultimately at the end of the day, like, you know, the Falcons just didn't play well enough. You know, it's not any deeper than that. I don't think people have to come up with these massive conspiracy theories about this coach or that coach or this player or that way. It's just like they didn't make the plays that they needed to make the plays to win games. That's all. That's really all it is. It's not really deeper than that.
Yeah.
Let me jump in, John, because I have to say this. I want to expand on what he just said. There are times where the play is just, it's just like shallow. It's not deep at all. I'm just being honest. I'm a Falcon fan until I die, but Desmond Ritter is trash. He sucks. He just sucks. He's not a great good player.
Here we go.
That's not because his hair Mike is a little fro. Okay. It's not because he mixed. It's not because he's from wherever he's from. It's because he sucks. All right. He's trash. He's not a good player. That's why that we say that he's not a good player, because he's not. It was a thing I did on MLK Day. Well, I picked the wrong day apparently to do this, but I did a skit for Zendaya. I was just giving her props. And people told me that I was like racist because it was Martin Luther King's birthday. And I picked a mixed girl instead of a dark skinned girl. And I said, well, man, your logic on like Easter, I'm supposed to pick like a buck tooth girl. The shit though is not adding up. It's not making sense. Okay, I don't have to do what you want me to do. And that it's no service. I was giving her props. It's no deeper meaning. It don't mean I hate myself. It don't mean I hate my mother. It don't mean none of that. Okay, it just means I like Zendaya. That's all it is. And Desmond Ritter's not a good quarterback. So there are so many of y'all I've seen that defend this dude tooth and nail. And whoever says anything about him bad, you say, well, you must be a hater of the team, or you racist, or you did. And it's like, do you have eyeballs? Did he play good in your opinion? And he could have been green. He would have been a trash green. Like, he would have been still trash. He was throwing a lot of interceptions. He could have been purple. He would have been still throwing interceptions. So y'all got to stop at some point with reading so deep. It have to mean this. And it was a conspiracy. He didn't have help. Stop. Because Matt Ryan was balling out. I will say this again. And y'all wouldn't, every offseason, y'all call for his head. So when this dude played like trash all season and y'all supporting him, it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, Aaron, I think you were in the same boat as myself just listening to your show last year, last season. Like, we were both like kind of on the Desmond Ritter train. Like, you know, like thought that, you know, this could work. You know, with the guys, the town around him, and everything going on, we thought this could be, you know, just average. We're good. Mike jumped off around stop three. He was like, no, this ain't it, and left. Yep. And so it was basically just kind of me carrying the rest of the season, trying like, no, man, you got to believe. See, look, there's this. I'm going to show you this right here. You know, and it just got to where I think, did you do the all 22 all year? Did you do it for every game? Okay. So I started around the Minnesota game, I think was the first game that I did start doing for our show. And it was like, that's when it first became apparent. Cause you know, it was the overwhelming aspect. The overwhelming sentiment was, well, Arthur Spencer sucks. He can't call plays, you know, like he's a terrible play caller. And yeah, there would be some, and when I started watching that, and I'm not going to lie, like I was, you know, probably, I wasn't like saying that, but I was putting probably more on Arthur than I was on Desmond. I'm like, man, he's not setting him up for any type of success here. Well, then I started watching the film and I'm like, I'm like, all right, well, it looks like, you know, are there's definitely some plays during the game. You're like, yeah, I don't know about that. That might would have called that there is a little bit weird, a little funny there. But overall, it was a lot of just Desmond missing or not seeing or just, you know, like it was, and it's Taylor too, both quarterbacks. Like Taylor was worse, you know, like, and I, that killed Mike to hear that because Taylor was his guy. But
that Mike like, game was rough, man. It was real rough.
It was real rough. And I told Mike, like, after I did that 22, he was like, How was that? I got bad news for you, dude. Like, I want to see Dez back. Like, that was terrible. Like, that was really, really bad. And I showed it. He watched it. He was like, Jesus Christ. You know, so it was just, you know, so, I totally get Desmond. He's a rookie. Of course he is. And, of course, I think he can get better. I think he will get better in the right system. And like, when we've had folks argue with us about it, like, you know, why would you not play him this year? Well, it's a new regime. Like, you're going to tell me of all the quarterback options that are out there, free agency and the draft, that they're going to say, you know what, we saw enough from Desmond in year one to go with that. That makes no sense whatsoever. You know, like, I mean, that's zero sense. It sucks for Dez, but because like I said, I think he can get better, but I just, you know, it doesn't make any sense to for this current situation for that to work out. So, you know, and like I said, just watching the 22, it was just, you know, yes, there were spacing issues with some of the routes and stuff like that, but there were just throws that weren't taken or were taken, or there was, you know, throws or just overthrown or underthrown or whatever. It's just, you know, it didn't work out. But yeah, you know, your take on that.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, you know, my whole thing was like, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Right. Cause like, it was like, we just got to get to the bye week or whatever and then figure it out. Right. Like given the ups and downs in the first half of the season. And so for me, like it all kind of came to a head for me with Desmond Ridder, as you say, because I was, you know, defending him through all that process in that second Bucks game in week 14, I think it was. Because it was like that to me was the game that was like set up for him to succeed. He had played reasonably well against the Bucks the first time, if you just discount the fumbles in the red zone, in like outside of those three plays, he played, you know, that was one of the better games he had. You know, he did that on the road, and, you know, we know that he was much better at home than he was on the road throughout last season. So that second big game was at home. And just because of the injuries that Falcons had on the offensive line, like you knew they probably, or at least I thought they probably weren't going to be able to rely on the run game as much. So it was going to be all on Desmond Ridder. And so for me, it was like, this is the showcase game. If Desmond Ridder can get the job done this week, like we're good, right? Like all the ups and downs, it's like, okay, it all kind of came through in this week, and he didn't get the job done. And it just kind of, for me at least, took the wind out of my sails for like, oh, okay, I guess this is not going to work out. And then the next week against Carolina, he made the bonehead decision to throw the pick at the end. And it was like, it was officially done at that point in time. And so like for me with Desmond Ridder, like this is the thing I always say, like where you get drafted determines how many chances you get. If you're a first round pick, you're going to get like a million chances, right?
Yep. Sure.
Like you can think of one of the biggest busts in recent memory for the Falcons, Jamal Anderson, right?
Yeah, man.
Did not do anything in what, 3 years, 4 years, whatever, however long he was here in Atlanta.
Nothing.
Referring to the defensive end, not the running back. Anybody.
Yeah. not
Dirty Bird, you know, the Dirty Bird.
Yeah.
Flat ass dirty. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But then he went on to play like three more years elsewhere. And it was just like, there's nothing he did in Atlanta that would make you think he was deserving of Jenny. I mean, you can argue Vic Beasley was the same, although at least Vic Beasley had that 1 year that you could justify, but he got multiple chances elsewhere. I'm sure we can come up with a long list. First round picks always get multiple chances. So if you're a quarterback, right, Mac Jones is going to get opportunities. Zach Wilson is going to get opportunities, right? All these guys will continue to get opportunities in the league. Your third round pick, or pretty much anybody after the first round, you get one shot. You get one shot to make the team. You get one shot to start. You get one season to show what you can do. And if you don't take advantage of that opportunity, right, You're not going to, you're the chances of you getting another shot are next to zero. And that's basically the situation with Desmond Ridder. He could turn out to be good in the future. Sure. Mm-hmm. As John said, like with time, with development, you know, I could see him turning into a Jacoby Brissett type of player, a Geno Smith mm-hmm. type of player, and down the road can start games and be a productive, good quarterback for some team. But like, he's not going to get that opportunity in Atlanta. And if he does start in Atlanta, it's going to be because the guy ahead of him, or the two guys ahead of him potentially, got hurt or for reasons can't play. So it's just one of those things where it's like, for me at least, you know, I know a lot of folks, you know, I think there's like two camps. There's the camp of people that are like, Desmond still got it and we should still ride with him. And I'm just like, I don't think you guys are living in the real world. And then there's the camp of people that are just like, everybody who supported Desmond Ridder is an idiot and doesn't know what they're talking about. And it's just like, all right, guys, like, all of you guys just need to move on. You know?
100%.
We're in 2024. We're in the market for a new quarterback. Like, it's all about what we're doing now. It's not about what choices were made in 2023, where things went wrong, where things could have gone right. Like, we gotta get live in the present and for the future, not being so focused on the past. And I always butt heads with fans because I think there's a tendency, because of our fandom and how passionate we are, and because, like, you know, this stuff matters, we tend to hold on to things and from the past and rather than living in the present. And it's just like, let it go, you know. So that's move on and let it go. That's all you gotta do.
Yeah, man.
No, well, you have to be real about what your eyeballs see, and you might love the player. I was gonna tell y'all Matt Ryan was killing with the Colts. And then I just had to be like, dog, this dude is not, he lost it a little bit. A tear dropped from my eye, a single tear drop when I had to get on Matt. But you got to be honest with, you can't just be like, no, you can't just double down and triple down. You have to be honest about what you see, if you love to play or not.
Yeah, I think that's where folks got, some got upset with me because I was Desmond. And I was like, no, this is not going to work. And they were like, what the hell? And I'm like, a fan of the team.
Once that Carolina game, John switched his whole.
I was done.
You couldn't defend it.
That was it. I mean, Aaron, we were at a watch party with like a bunch of other creators and folks, and I mean, you know, Big Low and other guy, you know, Uncle Steve and whatnot. And I lost. I didn't lose it, but I was like, you gotta be shitting me, man! Like, really? Yeah. Like, that's how this is going to end? Like, this, is, you know? And so, but
John texted me. He was like, I'm fucking done with this.
it was a rough way to go. The way that went, it was just like, it just felt like all, you know, whatever progress he had made, right, regardless of where you think it is. I know John, Mike is like, it went down this way, and the rest of us like, it kind of went up a little bit, but it was just after those last couple of games, it was just like boom. Like, I don't know, like, it just felt like it was broken at that point in time. And it was just like, okay, this is not going to end the way we thought it would.
Right. And Mike and I, we were at the Houston game, and that was probably arguably his best game of the season. And, and we were like, man, okay, this dude, okay. Like, if we can put this together, and then the whole problem was he couldn't repeat it, you know, couldn't be consistent with it, you know? And it's like, there was too many, oh God, type of plays or decisions and not enough good ones, you know, and overall that throughout the season. And like you said, even that first Tampa Bay game, you throw away the fumbles, passing wise, he was pretty good. You're pretty efficient, you know. So, but it just wasn't enough, you know. And like that, and that's why I was trying to tell people later on, like in the season, I'm like my we're fans of the team first. It's not necessarily the players. Like, you know, so I'm not just going to keep supporting it. Like, I'm going to root for the guy because he's playing quarterback for our team. But like, I can't just ignore what I'm watching every week when I'm doing this film study on it, you know. And so it's, you know, I don't know what folks expected, but that's kind of where it went. But anyway, enough of that. So, Aaron, if you're looking at this offseason, man, what would kind of be, starting, I guess, with the quarterback, what's kind of your ideal situation? Like, are we drafting a guy? Do you want to go get one of the vets that's out there and just go with the edge, wide receiver, just kind of all in all? Like, if you could design how you want to lay it out, how would you do it?
I mean, ideally,
we're sending this to Arthur Blank too. So, whatever you say, we will clip it and we're sending this to Mr. Blank. So, go ahead.
All right. Appreciate that. I would like to see them draft somebody. I'm good on the four quarterbacks. Like, if they draft any of those four guys, I'd be happy with it. Right. It seems like the top three guys, referring to Caleb Williams of USC, Drake May of North Carolina and Jaden Daniels of LSU are going to go in some order, 1, 2, and 3 in the draft. That seems to be the current buzz coming out of the combine. After I'm done talking with you guys, I got to record my own Locked On Falcons. I'm going to talk about that. It seems like New England is locked in on taking a quarterback at 3. And so that probably is going to kill any chance for the Falcons to trade up for one of those guys, if that's the case. But, we got 8 weeks till the draft, so we'll all find out together. That's, to me, the most fun thing about the draft is, like, you don't know what's going to happen. And it's just like – it's like being a kid on Christmas. You're like, oh, what's going to happen with these picks? And then inevitably for Falcon fans, it's always disappointment on draft night. Just the initial reaction is always, oh, that's what we're doing, you know? And then the next day it's like, you know what? I thought about it, and it makes a lot more sense. I just – for me, it's just – it's always like the pre-draft hype is always – hilarious to me, because it's like all that's going to happen is you're going to build it up, then you're going to get disappointed, and then you're going to go back to building it up. So just skip the you know, just wait till the end. But I think if the Falcons like settle for the fourth quarterback, which is JJ McCarthy out of Michigan, that's not going to be sexy. That's not going to be a popular pick. I think there's a path for JJ to be a good quarterback. I don't know if there's a path for him to be a great quarterback. But I think in terms of alternative options, you know, I'm not as high on Justin Fields as other people are. Like, I think he's fine, but I don't see him also being a great quarterback. Like, I think he can get better, but I don't know if he's ever going to be a consistent and reliable high-level starter in the league. Kirk Cousins has a high floor. If you are comfortable with him, his age and his injury, coming off that, which is understandably why a lot of people aren't necessarily comfortable with that. I understand that. But like at the same time, I think Kirk Cousins is probably the best bet. If your goal is to make the playoffs this year, he's probably the guy that will give you the best chance of doing that. But in terms of long term, like, I don't think you're winning a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. He's just basically going to be Alex Smith with what Alex Smith was with the Chiefs a bunch of years ago. And so then you're just kind of like, just stabilize it, and then we'll figure it out later. So for me, in terms of what I would like to see, that's why like I'm like, draft a rookie and just let's just roll with that guy and hope that he develops. You know, again, the odds aren't in our favor. Like, and that's kind of where I'm at, where I'm just like, you know, at least bet on the guy that I think a rookie, there's hope, right? Like, that's the thing that you always have with a young player is there's hope and optimism that like, hey, maybe this guy could be something. And so like, that's kind of what I would like to see the team do, but honestly, I have no idea what they're going to do. So we'll see.
Yeah. Kind of where I'm at too. What about, do you think they go out and make a, I wouldn't say a splash, but do you think they spend heavy on one player, or do you think it's more likely they're going to go along and, you know, like kind of amass good players, you know, like multiple good players, but not really go.
I think if they're going to spend, it'll be either for Kirk Cousins, because he's, you know, the prices that people are throwing out there for what his contract could be, you know, $50 million guaranteed, $70 million guaranteed, $90 million guaranteed. I've heard, you know, that's a lot of money. If not Kirk, I could see them spending big at edge, just because I think at the top of the draft you have three really good players, but I don't know if you're going to be 100% sold on those guys, you know, especially given Terry Fontenot presumably going with the best player available strategy. I don't know if one of those guys is going to be the best player available at the top of the draft. And then I think there's a, you know, at least based off of what I've seen, I haven't studied the entire edge class, but the next tier of guys below that, I think there's a big drop off there. And so if you're going to want to make a impact and get that sort of double digit sack guy, right, if you're not going to get that guy at 8, I think your best chance of getting that is maybe going out there and signing a Danielle Hunter, or maybe trading for a Hassan Reddick or somebody like that. And so if you do that, like, that's going to cost you, you know, a decent sized contract. And so like, that to me is probably the only other avenue where I could see the Falcons spending, you know, $50+ million guaranteed on an individual player. But other than that, I do think they'll spend, but I don't think it's going to be for the bigger splashes. I think it's going to be more of those mid-tier free agents. It's going to be more the Caden Ellis tier of free agents, a bunch of those guys, as opposed to the Jesse Bates type of free agents.
Yeah. Nothing sexy, all right? I want sexy, all right? I want Beyonce. I want Vanessa Hudgens. I'm I'm tired of like Kelly Price and Oprah, man. We got to do better at some point. Just go big or go home.
So,
would you want Russell Wilson, or is he out of the question for you?
I mean, he's fine. He's fine.
Aaron does not seem excited when he say he's just not, fine. It's that's great.
It's just like Russ is. Russ, I'm not gonna say Russ is washed, but like I don't know if Russ can get it back to being one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Like I think where he is, like probably like the 15th best quarterback in the league right now, is probably what his ceiling is.
Damn.
From this point on, because Russ is a player that, you know, his success in Seattle, a lot of it was just his ability to get out of structure and do all those crazy things and flip it, you know, 40 yards down the field to Tyler Lockett and whatnot. And now that he's gotten older, he's not as athletic as he used to be. And so he can't really do that. And then when you ask him to play in structure, like he's just okay at it. And that's kind of the problem. And so like, that to me is, I'm like, there's a path for Russ where it's just like, okay, we're going to rent Russ for a year and we're going to draft somebody and we're just going to have Russ be the bridge. But like, to me, you know, let's just say, I think Russ is closer to Marcus Mariota today than he is to old Russell Wilson. That's basically.
Ooh, shots fired, Russ. Headshot, man.
I'd love to be proven wrong, but like that's just where I think he is at in his career.
Good Lord, man.
I mean, he's better than Mariota. I want to make that clear, but I just think you put Mariota here and you put old Russ here.
Yeah,
Russ is a little closer to this side of the fence.
Yeah. Travis said, I'm not a Desbian, but Arthur Smith set him up for disaster from the beginning, making him the starter with zero competition to hurt him. Travis, I love you, buddy, but I'm going to disagree, man, and just say they actually helped him to make him the starter with zero competition. Because if to me, Aaron, y'all can give me your opinion, but like, you know, if he'd had competition if they'd have said, okay, Taylor, you guys are going to fight it out, then they're both getting first team snaps. They're having to split those snaps. He's not getting as much work with the first team. He's not getting that confidence instilled in him as like, you are the guy, you are our guy. We're going to put out, you know, you, this is your team, this is your squad, all that. You know, I think that probably hurts him more than having to fight for it. I don't know. What's your call, Aaron?
I agree. Like it's funny because it's like you have both sides. You have the side that is like, he should have been competing. So that's the side of being like, he would have been better if he had half as many reps. And then you had the other side, which is, well, he should have played more in the preseason. And that's the side that's basically saying, you know, he should have, I guess, double the reps or whatever. So it's like, you can't really have both. I think we can be critical and say, yeah, maybe getting a few more reps would have helped him. But I don't think, my personal opinion, I agree with you. I think having him in a competition wouldn't have helped him, right? Because you're reducing those reps. And I don't think, you know, 15 more snaps in the preseason against vanilla defenses are going to stop him from throwing interceptions against complex defenses. Like, you know, but yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah. Mike, I guess you probably agree with that, don't you?
I don't think he's good. I think he could have been on steroids. He could have had... He could have had all the snaps. He could have used steroids. He's not a good player. He does not belong in the NFL. He didn't even prove, if you all are being honest, he didn't even prove he was a backup. He didn't even prove to be a competent backup, like somebody who could just be safe. He can come in the game and he won't turn it over. That's all you want your backup to do. Just don't give it up. He can't even do that. No, he doesn't belong in the NFL. He belongs at Home Depot. So if like women come and they get a whole lot of paint and stuff, he can help them carry it out. Arthur Blank, he owned Home Depot. It's an easy transition.
All right. Well, before people turn off, oh Jesus. Bradley said, how many weeks do we expect Kirk to miss to start the season? He was out there throwing the other day. I haven't heard it. Aaron, are we thinking he's going to be ready to start the season? Or
he'll be ready. I mean, the only question with Kirk is going to be, is he going to miss OTAs coming off that Achilles, right? It's just like, you know, he'll probably be there day one of training camp, you know, unless there's a setback or something like that. But, you know, he's busted moves on the NFL honor stage. So I think he's good to go.
Maybe he had access to Aaron Rodgers' doctor or something. He got some, like, good mushrooms.
Yeah, right. I don't know. He had the holistic. Exactly. My man.
Chris, what's up? Yep. Yeah, man. So looking at the combine started obviously today, and Padre, our buddy in the chat, said, you know, the D linemen were tearing it up in the 40, and I caught some of the three cone, and yeah, I mean, there's some big dudes moving, man. Do you have any favorites in this combine you're kind of looking forward to watching, Aaron? Anybody that stands out, or are you kind of on the fence about this? Maybe, you know, might be a good fit.
No, there's a lot of dudes I like. Mm-hmm. You know, the three big edges, Dallas Turner out of Alabama, Jared Verse of Florida State, Lia Tulatu of UCLA. I like all three of those guys. If the Falcons wound up taking any of those guys at 8, I would be happy. I'm trying to think. The interior D line, I haven't really dove too deep into film, but there's a lot of good guys. I know Braden Fisk, the Florida State D tackle, was at the Senior Bowl, had a great Senior Bowl week, tested really well today. Mason Smith out of LSU, he was a player that I was very intrigued by preseason. I haven't really broken into the LSU defense, I've just been watching the offense with all the weapons they have there. This season. So I'm looking forward to that. Dwayne Carter out of Duke is another guy that was a Senior Bowl guy that, from what I understand, tested pretty well today. So there's a bunch of guys. Byron Murphy out of Texas, big fan of. Johnny Newton, I should call him, out of Illinois, another D tackle, also a big fan of his game. He's very reminiscent of Grady Jarrett in terms of what he can do. So, yeah.
I agree. Dodgers slick nuts. You got to put your balls on the table sometime. Yeah, no, I agree. And if y'all saw Byron Murphy, man, like he, to be 300 pounds, whatever he was, I mean, like mm-hmm. he looks like a superhero. Like he looks legit. Now, we've said the same thing about Chase Young. I mean, just kind of seen what happened there. So, I mean, but yeah, I'm with you. There's a lot of guys. And Devondre Sweat, we thought about him several times. I think they were kind of, like, not poking fun, but like his vertical was 25 inches. The man is 366 pounds. Like, that's pretty solid. He jumped 2 feet off the ground at 366 pounds. It's pretty good. But he was pretty impressive too. You know, if we're going to go to a 3-4, you know, we do need a bigger nose tackle. It wouldn't be so bad. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm recording every day so I can see it. Of course, I think the quarterbacks are Saturday, right?
Yeah.
And almost all in, you know, the top three guys aren't going to throw. We already know that. And somebody, I think it was last show or before, and I forgot to answer it, but they asked us, you know, why are the guys keep backing out of the combine? And it's really, I mean, it's, to be honest, I mean, like the top guys, all they can really do is hurt themselves. I mean, like they've already got you've already seen what they can do in college. I mean, they've got the tape. So, I mean, it's like if they go to the combine, just happen to have a bad day, maybe that hurts their stock and they drop down, you know, like that's I wouldn't do it if I was a top three guy that I knew that. I mean, mm-hmm. Caleb Williams has already made $12 million playing college football. Like, why is he going to go to the combine? You know, so, I mean, but that's pretty much it. But they will, I think Nix is going to throw. I think Rattler is going to throw. Penix will throw.
I think McCarthy's supposed to throw too. Yeah.
Is McCarthy? Okay. Well, that's good. I'll have to watch him because I haven't, you know, I've been doing these free agent things, so I haven't had time to really delve into a lot of guys, but that's one guy that keeps coming up. And I haven't seen enough of McCarthy. I've seen all kinds of opinions. I've seen he's like Ritter 2.0. I've seen like, no, hell no. He's, you know, much better than that. He's an elite processor. I've seen that from certain, you know, NFL guys. I'm like, damn, that's a very, like, that's pretty big difference if y'all are seeing those same things. So this is one guy I want to go watch and see how he might fit. But, buddy, you got something for Aaron, don't you?
Oh, I got a game for you, Aaron. Okay. It's called Air Run Free Man. Okay. I designed this one specifically for you. Let's go, buddy. We're going to start with Air. Hey, Aaron, I need you to tell me something. I need you to give me a quarterback from the 90s who would fit into this offense for this season coming up that would fit most perfectly into our offense that would take us to the playoffs. The quarterback from the 90s, who you going with?
Well, the first quarterback, when you said 90s, immediately Randall Cunningham jumped into my brain. Mm. And I'm thinking of not the Eagles Randall Cunningham, but the Vikings Randall Cunningham.
Oh, okay.
Dropping bombs to Chris Carter and Randy Moss,
yeah,
in the late 90s.
Ooh.
So, I'm trying to think, is there a better? No, that probably works.
I love it. Randall coming, he the first one to say that. I love it. Okay, I'm still on air, I'm still going air. Hey, Aaron, I need you to give me a 3-person dunk contest that would be the best dunk contest in the history of the NBA. Who would it be? 3-person dunk contest, who you going with?
Oh, Vince Carter.
Love that, it. That got to be in there.
Oh man, I have no idea. I have not paid attention to the dunk contest in like a decade. So
me neither.
I have same, no dude. Idea if there's like any current players that are great dunkers.
Well, you can pick old ones that don't matter.
All of our guys would be like from the '80s and nineties.
You know, the Atlanta Bias, Dominique Wilkins.
Dominique and Vince. You got one more. Oh, that's a good one. Dominique and Vince. You got one more, Aaron. Come on.
Oh man. I wanna go with Spud, but like I think I just have to go with Jordan. You know,
Jordan.
Yeah, you know.
Jordan, Dominique, and Vince. You heard it here first. Yeah, that I love that. So now we're going run. We're going air run. I need you to give me the best Atlanta Falcons running back of all time. And I don't mean in stats, but in talent. Who you going with and why?
Well, that's a good question.
I was ready for you, Aaron. I was ready.
No, part of me was just like, I'll say Bijan just – part of the brand, you know, but no, I feel like I gotta go with my guy Jamal. Like he literally carried the team to a Super Bowl. So
yeah, you know, literally carried.
Yeah.
Okay. Jamal Anderson, I love it. Okay, I need you. We still on run. I need you to give me the fastest player that you've seen in the football in like the speed. I don't mean on track or on the 40, but in game. Speed, who's the fastest player you ever seen in our league for in-game speed?
I mean, because I've seen him more recently, like, and I can, as an adult, I can gauge his speed. Like, Tyreek Hill's probably the right answer I should go to. But Daryl Green.
Oh, that!
The fact that he was still, like, running, like, a 4.3 at, like, age 45 is, like, to me, like, just, like, then what was he doing when he was like 25? You know what I'm saying? So like Daryl Green is probably the answer.
28, but watching the Redskins.
I was too young to really appreciate how, like I knew he was fast, but same I couldn't here. Really appreciate it, you know?
The same here. Good one. So we got Ed Run. Now let's go free. Free. I need you to earn. Number one free agent. If we could get anybody we wanted with no worry of the price tag, the number one free agent that you would grab for us or two.
Well, if we're including people that are probably going to get franchise tagged,
yeah,
I'm going Antoine Winfield. I feel like him and Jesse Bates together,
be disgusting.
Oh man,
it would be incredible. You know, I know like everybody like you know you get the wide receiver duo, you get the edge duo or whatever, the cornerback duo, but I would love to see an elite safety duo and see what a defense can do in today's NFL with. Arguably, what two of the top 3 to 5 safeties in the NFL?
So easily,
I would be intrigued to see what you could do as a defense with those two guys.
I love it. All right, so we still on free, Aaron. I need you to give me something free that you value, but it's free.
what is free nowadays? You know, it's like air.
air, man. Air.
Love is free. Encouragement is free.
I was gonna say water, but water ain't free.
I don't know. Not. Free.
I
maybe you're free, like you get free minutes anymore, like on your telephone. Like,
no, that's not even a thing. Nothing free no more.
No,
I mean, the free samples at Costco and Sam's Club. That's what
I love. And chicken, love and chicken. I love it. Okay, now we got air run free. Now we got man, Aaron. Do you want to see us in man and 3-4 and zone? Like, what do you want us to play mostly next season?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to think. Like, do I have a preference in terms of what they want to do? I guess
it's tough with the current personnel because you don't know who they're going to.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
yeah, I mean, like my favorite thing is always seeing a great pass rush. So if there's nothing better than a defense that can just get pressure with four guys, right? Just like, we're going to rush four, we're going to drop seven and you can't stop us, you know, cause we got the four horsemen of the apocalypse going. So I would love to see that. I don't know if there's quite the path to get there, you know, with who they can get. So to me, I guess the second best is just like hey, we're going to get after the quarterback and we're just going to spam blitzes all the time and you're never going to see where it's going to come. So let's just dial it up. Let's just turn it up. Let's Wink Martindale this thing and turn it up to 11.
Yeah.
Get after the quarterback. So I guess that would be my second choice.
I love it. So last one, we got Aaron Freeman. Man, Aaron, I need you to tell me, out of all the Falcons you've ever seen, who is the one Falcon that you would say that we underrate as a whole? Like, that dude is the man. That dude is the man. He's damn good, but he don't get the props because I guess he's not a superstar. He's not a big name. And he can be a old player or new player, anybody you want to go with.
Well, my brand is Jonathan Babineau, so I'm going to stick with Babs.
I love it. I love it. Aaron Freeman, you come on, man. Out of your fucking mind. Give me my damn prop. Aaron Freeman. I love it. Great answers, buddy. Let's go.
And Chris said Winfield or Buda Baker.
Ooh, that's a good one, Aaron.
That's good. Yeah, because Buda can play in the slot, you know. Mm-hmm. I do love me some Buda Baker.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I'll go Winfield. Just because he's a little younger than Buda at this point. That's
I got
it.
You. Yeah. Okay.
That's solid.
I do love me some Buda.
Uncle Steve, out of your Falcon mind, I'm just not feeling the free agent route. I'm leaning to draft a quarterback or get Justin Fields or maybe a free agent. The QB market is very stale. Kirk caught the market at the right time. He did.
That's right, man. And make sure y'all check out Uncle Steve, man. Every week, twice a week, Dude brings great shows, man. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it on the shows. Like, we're with you, Aaron. Like, the same, we'd prefer go draft our guy. Just go, we like this year, especially with the guys that are there. You know, if you had the opportunity to do it, I'm not going to be mad either way. Like, if they want to go grab a vet, whether it's Kirk or Russ or Fields, all right. I mean, whatever. Like, I'm not going to be. I'm not gonna cry tears or be, jump off through the ceiling either way. So, I mean, yeah, I just want to win, man. I just want to win. It's got to be better than last year. You know, that's the whole thing. You know, it's like Facebook users said, if we draft a quarterback and Ritter beats him out, or do we trade Ritter so that the problem won't happen? Ritter has no OC, no really quarterback coach. I don't know if you missed
it. That's Desmond Ritter because he don't got no name. I'm telling you, bro, that's Desmond Ritter. He came up with a blank.
I don't know if you missed the beginning of the show, man. We talked about that. It's like – and Aaron said the same thing. That's kind of overblown in a way. Like, he was getting coaching. He wasn't like blackballed by his own coaches. He just didn't play that well, and he was a rookie.
Every person on the staff was trying their best, y'all. So I don't want y'all to think he got rigged or everyone was trying their best. It was no one on our staff that was trying to sabotage that man.
Why would they do that? Why would Arthur try to like get himself fired?
Come on, y'all.
He's
trying to like keep his job. Like, this is not, he had enough faith in him to say, like, okay, you're my dude, I'm gonna roll with you, And I mean, yeah, like I said, the play column was weird, but like I said, if you go watch literally go sit there and watch the all 22, watch every quarter, watch every play, you're gonna come away going, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Like, you'll watch the game on Sunday and be like, what the? And then you'll watch the film back, and you're like, oh, okay, then I kind of get that now. That was this play wasn't blocked right, or this play was, this run, run game wasn't working as well. Like, you're going to see reasons that crop up. And yeah, you'll see a few boneheaded play calls for sure, but like, it wasn't the whole reason we were losing these games. Like, y'all got to just get that out of your head a little bit. All right, Aaron, we'll do this real quick, and then we'll go on to the mailbag question. So, outside of QB, edge, and wide receiver, give me your top two or three needs.
Cornerback, safety, and probably swing tackle.
Did you see the rumor that we were possibly interested in Mekhi Becton from the Jets?
I've been, last summer I was pushing for the Falcons to trade for Becton. I would love to see it. Him reunited with Dwayne Leffert, his best football was at Louisville with Dwayne Leffert. So, I would love to see it.
Yeah, I would too. So yeah, I agree with that. I don't know. I can't remember if you were kind of with Richie or against Richie. I was on the Richie train for a long time. I had to unfortunately hop off last year. but I just couldn't. It was. The Tampa Bay game did it for me. That Kate Otten touchdown. I was
dude,
come on, man. Like, it literally had just one thing to do. You just had to stay where you were. Like, that's all you had to do. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Yeah, I mean, I feel like you got to upgrade that position. And I like Helms. You know, I mean, being an Alabama guy, I love Helms, but I don't think he's quite ready to jump into that spot. Like I told folks on the show last year, like pass coverage is not really his strength. And that's kind of what kept, that's why he was drafted a little bit lower coming out of Alabama. Like he was a great tackler, can play great in the box, but he was never really good in coverage. So to see what he did in preseason kind of surprised me. I was like, oh shit, he may have gotten a little bit better. And, you know, that's, which is great. You know, that's what you want to see, but I'm not ready to say, yeah, you start him, like, you know, opposite of, of Jesse. But I'm cool seeing him in some of those three safety looks. If you want to bring him down there, let him play some of that, I'm down. But yeah, I'm definitely on corner too, man. Like, we got to figure out CB2. And I just did the cornerback free agent show, guys. If y'all haven't seen that one, I just dropped it a few days ago. And I gave a few options that are out there. And I don't know how, there's some smoke around the hole. We're interested in trading for Snead now that KC has franchise tagged him.
Yeah. Seen that too. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me because I'm just like,
I said the same thing. Yeah. Is he going to be a CB2? Like, I don't
know. Yeah. You know, and like, you gotta, if because Casey's gonna tag him, right? And then they might trade him, but like, usually, like, if you're gonna do that, you're gonna give up a first round pick to get a franchise guy. So, we're gonna give up the 8th overall pick to get LeJarius Sneed, and then we're gonna pay him a bajillion dollars. And then, are we also gonna pay AJ Terrell, or are we just done with AJ Terrell now? Or are we gonna have the most expensive cornerback room in the league? Which I'm not against, it's just I don't see that. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me why the Falcons would do that. That's all. It's just pay AJ and, you know, figure it out. You know, the other spot, you know, I don't think you have to go out there and trade your premium draft assets for LeJarius Sneed. I think you can find some options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. So, all right, we'll get to the mailbag. Mike, do you have anything else before we jump on the mailbag?
No.
You good, buddy? All right. So, first question from our boy Alberto from 95 Sports.
Alberto.
95 North Falcons Talk Show. There we go. He said, are there any current players you feel will fall out of favor with the new coaching staff? And also, please tell Aaron that he is my hero. So,
appreciate that.
There you go. Aaron, what do you, with the current guys, are there any guys you think will fall out of favor?
I mean, probably all the people that you think, like, you know, all the guys that were drafted under Arthur Smith that aren't first round picks, that haven't, if they don't, you know, produce this year, yeah, they're gonna go by the wayside. That's what happens. Like, you know, like you saw this with Arthur Smith when, like, we drafted Jalen Hawkins and then we drafted DeMarco Helms, right? And it was like the minute DeMarco Helms came on the team, that was like shots across the bow for Jalen Hawkins. You saw, you know, I'm blanking on probably some other players that we drafted that it was like, oh, clearly he's replacing this guy. So, you know, when we get to day three of the draft, like some of these picks, if you're like sitting there going like, oh, we drafted the player, but we just drafted another player at that spot like a year or two ago. Yeah, that player that from a year or two ago is probably going to get pushed out the door at some point. So that's usually what happens. It's the day three guys that really suffer from coaching changes because they were already just kind of barely hanging on anyway. So, you know, we could, you know, it could be literally anybody who is not an entrenched starter, like basically everybody that's not like Grady Jarrett, Jake Matthews and Drake London, you know, could be shown the door in the next year or two.
Agreed. And Q Lavender said true QB coach was the wide receiver, which is hilarious. Yeah. And look, don't get me wrong there. We all agree that it was right for Smith to part ways. Like there was other reasons, not just a play calling, that I thought they needed to move on. It wasn't going to work. But yeah, that was definitely. I mean, I'm glad to see TJ Yates back coaching quarterbacks. What he was supposed to do. All right, from Jay, he said he's got three questions. Actually, I think he had another one too. What free agent Rams player will be a Falcons next year? We'll start with that one, Aaron. Any idea? I got a couple of mine, but probably the same as yours.
Probably Jordan Fuller, the safety. He's probably the guy I probably put the most money on. That's what I want. Yep. Feels like probably a couple of guys that are ex-Rams, like Greg Gaines, the nose tackle, A'shaun Robinson, the D-lineman. Maybe they bring in Taylor Rapp, the other safety that was there. Leonard Floyd, maybe. He's not with Buffalo, but was with the Rams. So, you know, I think we could see a bunch of Rams, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I agree. I thought on the maybe Akella Witherspoon. He had a good half of the year. Second half of last year was he played really, really good ball. First half was okay, but he ended up the season with his best year of his 7-year career. And that was, you know, obviously with Raheem. And he's a bigger, if y'all don't know who he is, he's 6'3", 109. I mean, he's a bigger corner. I mean, like he's, you know, wouldn't be bad to have him opposite of AJ. Yeah. And I don't, I kind of feel that, I know I saw Millie Mills say keep Okuda. I don't think that's going to, I mean, maybe. I was rooting like hell for him, and he's played well to start the season. He just kind of, after that injury, never really seemed to get his footing. And then we saw Phillips out there, and I don't know that it was really, he just can't seem to stay healthy. It just sucks. Like it's a short career that he's had. It's like every year, like something crops up that seems to hurt him. And I mean, for a cheaper pay, maybe you bring him back, but I don't know. I doubt it. What's your call?
Yeah. I mean, if it was up to me, I'd probably try to bring him back on another like 1 year cheap prove it deal for like $3 or $4 million or something like that. And, you know, with the idea of maybe drafting a guy in the draft or whatever as my sort of insurance policy in the event that he gets hurt. But in terms of the likelihood of that happening, it does seem like, you know, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, I agree. And Chris said, I'm not the only one who feels that Snead may just have been so successful due to the scheme. Someone taught me out of it.
Aaron? I mean, I think Snead's real good. I'm not studying the Chiefs every year, but every time we watch them in the playoffs the last couple of years, I see L'Jarius Snead making plays. So I feel like he's good. I don't know if he's like first round pick and $20 million a year good. I don't know about that, but I think he's a really good corner.
Yeah, me too. I don't know that it was. And that's what I think when we were talking about it, Chris, when Aaron, I don't know that we see him as like a true CB2 because he does a lot of things. Like he played most of the time in the slot, you know, in nickel, and he would blitz. He would come on pressures. But he was really good in coverage too. So he did a lot of things for that defense. So I don't know. This would be tough. How it would translate. Cooper DeJean, if y'all haven't seen this guy, I don't think he's going to test at the combine because we have an injury, but he might be the first white corner we see since Jason Sehorn to come out and actually do some stuff. That could be he's crazy to watch.
From what I hear, he was like the Troy Anderson of Iowa in terms of like a high school athlete, that he just like broke all the high school records or whatever, like Troy Anderson did for Montana and whatnot. So people thought he was going to test really well, but unfortunately he's hurt. So we'll see what he does at his pro day a little bit later this offseason.
Yeah, same. They asked him, I think, what he preferred. He's like, I don't really care. I'll play outside. I'll play inside. I'll play safety. Whatever they want me to do, I'll play. I'm like, all right, that's a good answer. All right.
Y'all remember Sonny Dwight?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, man. Because he's freaking Iowa. Then you're talking about a fast white dude. Tim Dwight was the truth.
Yeah, he was. All right. And Dace also said, what surprise cuts do you see coming, if any?
Surprise cuts? You know, I feel like Heineke's getting cut. I don't think that's a surprise. I feel like Mike Hughes is probably getting cut. That's probably not a surprise. Lorenzo Carter's potentially going to get cut. I don't think that would be a surprise. I mean, maybe Ade Ogundeji, but like they might carry him to camp and then cut him in camp like they did with Michael Walker.
He was still here.
Yeah. So
damn, John.
That would be a surprise because John forgot he was on the team. Like, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. I'll ask my own question. Do you think Malone going to get a chance to get on the field with this?
Please.
Maybe. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see if they how much investments they make at edge. I think, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think so. Nathan said if they go get Snead, does AJ stay or go? I think AJ probably stays. I don't know why you trade him out.
So hold on for a minute. I do have one for you, Aaron. I got a good one for you. Out of all the young players I'm about to name, I want you to tell me who can grow to be the superstar. If you had to bet on one, would it be Troy Anderson, Clark Phillips, or Malone? Who do you think, if they give them the proper tooling and they give them the play time, they will show up and show out?
I like Troy's upside a lot.
Okay.
I don't know if he's going to get there, but if I was going to bet on any of those guys, I'm like, he's the guy I would bet on.
I love it.
Jay's last question said, what do you think about the NFL possibly going to the XFL kickoff rules next season? And for y'all that don't know, they're they're tossing it around. And if y'all don't know what that rule is, basically, and I'm just going to read it for you so you understand. Under the proposed rule, the kickoff would move back to the 30-yard line. The receiving team would line up at the 30 with the remainder of the kickoff team on the 35. So they're 5 yards apart. That's where they start. The only players that can move prior to kickoff are the kicker and the returner. So basically, and the other players can't move until the returner catches the ball. So basically, it's reducing all the high speed collisions, and they're, you know, they're the guys. So I went, you know, if you've watched the XFL at all, it's kind of, I mean, I didn't mind it actually. Like, you, it's kind of cool. Like, I wouldn't hate it personally. But it said that this would ensure that we wouldn't see players colliding at full speed, with the majority of the gunners and blockers making contact before reaching their top speed, more akin to normal play. So yeah, I'm okay with it, to be honest with you. Like, it's kind of, the kickoff's kind of like, doesn't exist anymore anyway. It's mostly touchback. So yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with that.
Mike? Yeah, I mean, if
I was just gonna say, yeah, just take it out.
Yeah, I mean, if kickoff's still gonna be part of the game, do something that's gonna make it part of the game rather than what it is right now, where it's just like, all right, pee break, kickoff.
Yeah,
like, it's exactly, like, you
know,
it's just a formality. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And a question from JW Odom. He said, if the Falcons are to move up in the draft, what player do you see being traded in the deal? Also, what are some of your favorite movies? Oh, that's different. All right. So, what player would you see being traded if we move up?
I don't see the file. Like, I know that there's been a lot of proposals about, like, AJ Terrell and Kyle Pitts and whatnot. Like, I don't see the Falcons giving up good players to move up in the draft. Like, they're going to give up picks, and that's it, if they're going to do that. Like, I don't even know, like, who's trade. I mean, like,
I don't either. I kind of agree with you. I think it's just gonna be picks. I can't see you.
It will be
giving picks. Away talent. Yeah.
No.
Favorite movies, Mike. Favorite movie come to mind?
A Pulp Fiction.
Oh, really?
Quentin Tarantino, don't miss
anything. Quentin Tarantino, huh? What you got, Aaron?
Anything, man? Inglourious Basterds. Still Quentin Tarantino.
Good one.
Oh man, I always hate answering this question because, like. What? I always feel like you got to say something that, like,
everybody's going to agree with.
You know? And it's just like.
You're about to say some love story, aren't you?
No, I mean, I guess the movie, if I'm basing it off of the movie I can watch anytime it's on, every time it's on, it's probably Coming to America.
Oh, that's a great one.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's a good one. Yeah, I can go several ways. I mean, Tombstone's one of my all-time favorites. Trading Places, we have to watch it every single year at Christmas. It's like my all-time favorite one there. Gladiator from back in the day was solid. I just saw Oppenheimer this weekend. That was really damn. It's 3 hours long, so if you want to watch
it. Shelby.
That's the only really reason I haven't seen it, because
it's really good. But it's
to have to watch this movie, you know?
Yeah, I had to do it in separate settings, but it was good. But anything with Cillian Murphy, and I'm going to watch, to be honest with you, because he's one of my favorite actors. But all right, so on to the next one. We're doing pretty good on time here. All right. And Jay, another one from Jay said, what would be one move, good or bad, that the Falcons would make to have you questioning your fandom? Dude, if they haven't, if we're still here, I don't think that we could possibly make a move.
Yeah.
Desmond Ridder, man, I ain't gonna lie. If they started Desmond Ridder, I would be furious. But when week one came, I would be in full support. I'd be furious until week one. And then I would tell you, we going to the Super Bowl with Desmond Ridder.
There you go. Stay consistent, Mike. I appreciate that.
Yep.
When the season starts, I'm all in. Every year.
I don't care who it is. It could be Biscuit at quarterback. I'm a big fan. We win Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Yeah, I think, you know, after 28-3, it's just like I'm here. Like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm gonna complain the entire time, but I'm not going anywhere. So I don't think there's, you know, I'm always questioning my Falcons fandom. Like, why did I make this choice when I was 8 years old? You know. But, like, in terms of, like, getting off the bandwagon, I don't think there's a move that – I was talking to some people that were listeners of Locked On Falcons, and they were like, if they took Bo Nix at 8, the Oregon quarterback, they would be out. And I was like, sure, like, I would hate that move, but at the same time, I'd be like, all right, we'll see if it works out. You know, I'm at a point where it's just like, all right, I'm gonna complain a lot. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm here. You know, I just complain about the Falcons, but – you know, I don't think there's any move that they can make that I'm out.
If you can leave your team you're not a real fan. I don't care. If you can just say, I don't like something they're doing, so I'm switching teams, you're not a real fan. That is not real fan.
No. Q-Say needs
that. Out of your fucking mind. It's on the website. I don't know what the website is because I'm a poor representation of the brand. But I know we got a website. I know you can order it, but you will have to ask.
Hang on. I got you right there. Scrolling across the bottom of the screen.
There you go. Just look at that, John. That's Aaron Freeman. Like, we got that from Aaron. See how quick that was? I'm telling you, man.
I got a long ways to go to catch up to that, man. But
long ways, but we coming.
Appreciate it. I'm gonna be honest, Mike. I love it. From Travis, our boy Travis. He said, who are your top three edge targets, free agents or the draft?
I gotta hit this from Aaron. Go.
I mean, I was part of Josh Uche gang when he came out in the draft. So I would love to get to circle back to that. You know, I know a lot of people are like, they wanted us to draft Fields and they want us to get Fields now. And I'm like, hey, this is the time to get all your old draft takes. I'd be like, we should have drafted this guy. So Josh Uche from the Patriots would be probably my preferred free agent option. Draft wise, like, I'm a big Dallas Turner. And I mean, I like all three of the top edges in this draft.
Yeah,
right. Like watching the film, I came away liking Laiatu Latu, the UCLA edge rusher, more. But then at the Senior Bowl, I was a little underwhelmed. So I'm just like, okay, like Turner and Verse made up ground. So I'm at a point where like I'll take any one of those three guys, and you know, they all work for me.
Yep, I love it with you. Myler said, I would very much like to hear Mike and Aaron do a segment on the importance of being humble.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, that is hilarious.
Look, Aaron, if you don't know Myler, man, he, number one, what did he do? He had the, he basically drank the Bijan mustard, like literally had the Bijan mustard out in front of Lambeau Field with his Out of Your Falcon Mind stuff on, videotaped it, put it on there, he lives in Wisconsin, obviously. So got the ire of all Green Bay. Like, I mean, just, they were completely pissed with him. And then
we put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we could have been healthy. And then the Falcons put the Bijan's cleats on there to give away. And he was like, hey, if I win them, I'll drink Bijan mustard out of the cleats. And they gave it to him.
Okay.
So now he's gonna come through. So yeah. Pretty damn funny. Yeah, man. All right. So let's see. Got a few questions here tonight. April said, do you think Justin Fields is coming home? So if y'all haven't seen the video, and I don't even know if it's, I guess it's real. I guess his agent posted it, and like it shows Justin jumping up and down, and you hear somebody say something that sounds like you ready to come home or you're coming home, something like that. I don't know. Like Aaron said earlier, no clue.
I did some deep diving, and apparently that video is him pretending to be high school football players before the kickoff. And then so someone took that video out of context and changed it
to make
it seem like this is him reacting to him getting traded to the Falcons. Similar to, you remember when we were going to the coaching search and someone posted a video of Bill Belichick at Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, that was like 5 years ago in Florida.
Like that was like 4 years ago in Boston or someplace like that. So
yeah.
Internet, man, is undefeated in terms of
really is.
Just completely, it's like, hey, here's a thing. And people are like, hey, that's a thing. And then it's like, you come to find out, like, that's not the thing that you think it is.
Nah, man. We did, we do the underrated, overrated on our show. And like, about a month ago, I said, look, but y'all, sources is overrated. Like, anytime y'all see sources, say, like, just chill. Yeah. Like, don't even, I mean, you can read it, but don't like start retweeting it and getting all excited or all pissed off or whatever it might be. Like, it's best just to chill and wait, man. But yeah, so April, not sure. I mean, who knows? Boogie said, what about Spencer Rattler?
I like Spencer Rattler. He would be one of my preferred options in the we got a veteran bridge or whatever, and then we're just going to take a flyer on a quarterback in the third round and hope it works out, you know, better than it worked out with Desmond Ridder. Rattler, I think, has legit ability. You know, there's certain things he's got to clean up about his game, but I think he's a good football player. So, you know, I'm at a point where it's like, you know, they draft any of these quarterbacks. Like, I'm going to have a different opinion on them, right? Like, I'm going to like some guys more than the other one. But, like, at the end of the day, it's like, you just need to take swings at the quarterback position. Yep. Like, because like the truth of the matter is the odds that you hit on a quarterback are so low that you just have to just keep swinging. Mm-hmm. And so at a certain point, it's just like, just take a swing and we'll see if it works out. Hopefully it does. You hope you have the supporting cast. You hope you have the coaching staff and you hope the player, mm-hmm. you know, you can all develop all that stuff. But like at the end of the day, it's just like, you know, I don't know if there's a quarterback that they could draft that I'd be like, this is a terrible pick. It's just going to be like,
yeah,
I would have preferred that other guy, but it is what it is. It's
fine. Exactly. And our boy Chris from A1 Sports or Forever Sports said, is there a dark horse you guys see that could steal Justin from Atlanta, from under Atlanta? I've seen Broncos. I've seen Raiders.
Yeah, I say Broncos.
I don't, who knows? I don't.
I mean, I was talking about this the other day on Locked On Falcons. Like, it doesn't seem like, like, no one seems to be like gung ho on Justin Fields at this point. That's why, like, I don't know if he's going to get traded soon. Like, I think it's going to, it might be a situation where someone's going to strike out elsewhere. Like, someone's not going to be able to trade up. Someone's not going to like the other quarterbacks. Someone's not going to sign Kirk Cousins. And then you're going to be like, all right, well, we'll take Justin Fields now. And like, so I don't think the market is going to be as robust for him as I think people project. I think ultimately he will get traded to somebody, but it's going to be whatever team doesn't, he's going to be the plan B or whatever.
He's going to be the rebound.
Yeah. So I don't know where he's going to wind up. That's because that I think depends on what happens with that. Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Oblivion said, why is no one talking about Baker Mayfield for any team?
No.
I haven't heard anything outside of that Tampa Bay said they weren't going to franchise him, right? I think that's what I saw.
Yeah.
So I honestly wouldn't hate him on this team after last year and his experience with Zach Robinson, the short time, amount of time that he had there with the Rams looking like out. I think you could do worse, but I think I saw an estimated 4-year, $120 million. I don't know if I'm ready to do that.
Yeah, that was my thing with Baker Mayfield. Like, at the price he's probably going to make this year, I don't know if I'm there yet, right? It's just like, yeah, you're right. Like, you could do worse than Baker Mayfield, but I feel like you could do better too, you know, if you're going to spend that type of money too.
Yeah.
So, like, most of it has been the expectation that he's going to re-sign in Tampa Bay. So I think a lot of people are just sort of assuming that he's not going to be available when push comes to shove, but I don't know. I think Baker, like for me, Baker is like after Fields, after Cousins, after Fields, after Wilson, I think Baker's in the mix there, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. Last couple, and then we will move on. K-Swag on YouTube said, if we don't trade up, who could you see us realistically taking in the first round? Alt, Neighbors, Turner, Arnold, Verse, Latham, anybody else if we don't trade up to, I guess, get a quarterback? I honestly, nothing would surprise me. I mean, if we took a wide receiver, I know folks will lose their mind, but if we took, Neighbors at 8 or something like that, I wouldn't be shocked. If you want to go ahead and upgrade your tackle position, I wouldn't be shocked there either. Any of the pass rushers, not at all, because obviously that's a need. Nothing would blow. Honestly, I don't do that. There's not really a pick there that I'd be like, oh my God, like, what are you doing? You know, I mean, maybe corner, but I mean, I know there's some good corners, but maybe, I don't know. We'll see you.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if they get a veteran quarterback, I think wide receiver shoots up to the top of the list, right? Like, if they get Justin Fields or Kirk Cousins, like, I feel like you want to bring in another weapon to get those guys, to maximize whatever window you have with them. If it's not a quarterback, I think, edge is obviously a position. I think corner potentially is an option. I'm kind of waiting to see what they do in free agency at corner before we go down that path. But yeah, I think the sky's the limit. Like, tackle would be probably the one surprise move if they did that. But outside of that, I think quarterback, cornerback, wide receiver, edge, and maybe even D tackle with like Byron Murphy or somebody like that, are all, I think, on the table at this point. That's the thing. Free agency, man, like you're gonna cross needs off the list. And so, like,
exactly.
That's why, like, for me, like, I don't get too caught up on what we're gonna do in the first round until we get through free agency. And it's like, then we'll be able to maybe focus a little bit more on what we're going to do, because we spent some money, you know, at some of those positions across some of those needs off.
Yeah, I don't even do a lot of mock drafts until after free agency, because I mean, I don't, you know what direction we're going to go in. And his second question was, what receivers are y'all feeling in the draft for us? And there's a lot of receivers. There's a lot. This is a pretty deep one. Any couple of guys stand out for you?
I mean, I love the LSU guys. Yeah, I love the LSU guys. I love Malik Nabers. Yeah. Like, he's incredible. Yeah. Brian Thomas is great.
Yeah.
I'm a big Ladd McConkey fan out of Georgia. I haven't done it too deep a dive on the, like, my plan is probably next week I'll do a deep dive on the wide receivers and go through like 20-25 guys film to sort of stack my own board. So I haven't done that yet, but in terms of, you know, I there's a lot of guys that I like, basically.
Agreed. And last one says from Boltville. He said, yes, a Chargers fan that follows you guys after y'all doing the crossovers with the Bolt Bros. Shout out to the Bolt Bros. How would y'all feel about trading up with the Chargers in the draft? Who would you guys want at number 5? And what would you be willing to trade in order to move up? Can't wait till the content comes out when we play you guys next season. A lot of Chargers fans are considering going to Atlanta. Besides the strip clubs, can you suggest your top 3 things to check out and must try food restaurants? Thanks, fellas. I'm gonna tell you right now, buddy, we'll catch the places to check out as we get closer to the game. Well, I'm sure we're going to do another crossover with the Bull Bros. So we'll give you some nice spots to hit. Mike will hit you up with all the great strip clubs that you can go to.
Know what I was thinking of. I wasn't even going to say it, but thank you, Johnny Yates.
Oh, you're welcome. I can find all the nice restaurants and stuff like that that you want to go to. And then Mike will have you covered on the other spots. I'd be interested going to 5. I don't want to give up, like Aaron, we just said, I don't really want to give up like a really talented player to move up. You know, that's the whole thing. Aaron, what do you think, buddy?
I mean, yeah, I'd be interested in trading up for a quarterback and probably only really one quarterback in particular, just because that would be Drake May for me. I feel like, you know, I'm assuming Caleb Williams is going number one, so I don't think he's going to be an option. And if somehow Drake May was to fall to 5, and someone else wasn't able to trade up to get him, then I would be, you know, calling the Chargers and, know, offering Jim Harbaugh whatever he wants, all the lap dances he needs, you know, in order to get up to that spot to get Drake May.
All the Coles cash he needs for all those khakis. Yeah, whatever he wants. And Nathan said, what's the SI story about Blank wanting Cousins? Yeah, I saw it briefly that he was a fan of take it all with a grain of salt, man. Just sit back and watch and see what happens, man.
We're going to find out in like 2 weeks.
We sure are. Yeah. Yep. All right. So we're either going to
trade for Fields, sign Cousins, sign Russell, you know, or they're going to, you know, bring in Carson Wentz. And then we're like, oh, they're drafting a quarterback. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Hopefully. What's up, buddy? The illustrious.
Hopefully.
Yep. All right. The Jolly Green Giant's my new favorite, though. Like, that's my new favorite AKA, really. Like, after you added that one in there, I'm like, that's perfect. All right. So we're going to end the show with this. We got about 10 minutes, man. We started, like, I don't know if Aaron, if you've seen, we did a new game just called, like, you know, I mean, I was wondering, you know, and so we would figure we would just kind of dedicate this one to you so fans can kind of figure out, like, hey, man, like, Aaron, I was wondering, man, if you weren't hosting Locked On Falcons, what would you be doing?
I'd be happy, because I wouldn't be miserable. Oh, damn. Being a Falcon.
No, I'd
kidding.
Be happy.
I'm kidding.
Oh, damn.
No. I don't know what I would be doing. I'd probably be just being have some office job, you know, just
complaining to yourself about the
moment. Yeah, just like, you know, going to Chili's for happy hour. You know, I don't know. Just being the most normal, regular, boring person ever. So I'm already that, but I do a podcast, so it's just like,
so that leads into mine. Aaron, I was wondering, what does Aaron Freeman do when he's bored? When the show is done, you have no research to do. The show has been done, but you got some time. You're bored. What is Aaron Freeman doing?
I mean, this time of year, I'm just grinding film, so I don't really have free time. Some of the things I try to do, you know, I got one of those like adult coloring books, and that like, you know, I can kind of zone out there and just color, you know, like a child, you know, like, but it works. Cooking also is something that can, you know, get me into a zen mode. Yeah, that's, oh, I play one of those stupid mobile games. It's like a Lumber Inc. or something like that, where you just like chop trees and then like you gotta sell them to like the sawmill or something like that.
This sucks, yeah, you
in. And oh, it's like, I had to do, when I got suspended from Twitter, like I needed something to fill my free time on the phone. I couldn't get immediately addicted to other social media. Like I'm on TikTok, but like TikTok is dangerous because you can get sucked in for like 6 hours on TikTok. Yeah. And like I'm on Reddit, but like, you know, Reddit can also be kind of dangerous too. So like I was like, I need something else because I got this phone, I got this device. So I just started playing this mobile game, right? Or no, what happened was I started doing crosswords. And they kept advertising this game. And I was like, this game looks weird. Let me check it out. And I'm addicted now. So it is what it is.
I love
That's
it.
That's hilarious, man. All right. What any song or artist in your playlist that might surprise a few folks?
Ooh, I know there's a good answer for this. You know, I'm a 90s kid, so I do love me the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know?
Okay. Love I was it. Just listening love to that it. Earlier. Okay.
Flea is the reason, one of the two reasons I started playing bass, like without a doubt. Yeah, Mike, go ahead, buddy.
I got one. I was wondering, Aaron Freeman, give me a conspiracy theory that you 100% believe in.
Dude, this could go down a really deep hole, man. We ain't got enough time for this.
Ooh. I think the Secret Service killed JFK.
I love it. So, man, we're canceled. So I just want y'all to know it was good when seeing y'all, and it was good for 163. We will not be back for 164. If I get sniped in my car, it was Aaron.
Hey, Aaron, my dad actually worked for the CIA, Aaron, like during the 60s and 70s. Uh-huh. So he has his opinions too, which I will also keep to myself.
Love it, though.
I like the Secret Service theory. I think, basically in the nutshell, the theory is that the Secret Service members got sauced the night before. They were a little hungover. And when the shots first rang out, one of the guys had a little itchy trigger finger and reacted. And that's the magic bullet that blew out the back of Kennedy's head. Yeah. So I buy that theory. That's the one crazy conspiracy theory that I buy.
Yep. I dug it. All right, man. One more for me. I was trying to decide between, I got a couple here. I'll make it two questions. All right. Number one, do you have a favorite sport outside of football? Do you watch in like MLB, pro sport, call whatever? And also, if you were stuck on an island for a month, what food could you eat? You only eat one food, but what could that be?
I do not, like, I'm so focused on football that I just do not have the time for any other sports.
That's my buddy.
I'm trying to think, like, what could I get into? I would get into like a weird sport. Like I'd get in like curling or something, you know, something just random.
Like a cornhole.
Yeah. You know,
cornhole on ESPN.
Yeah. It would just be some random sport. Like, oh yeah, you know, locked on cornhole or something like that, you know?
Probably don't Google that. It's probably not. Yeah,
probably not. Please. That was a good one, John.
What food?
Yeah, you're stuck for a month. You only eat one food. What could you deal with?
I mean, the intelligent answer is to say like a potato, because you can prepare potatoes in like a million different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You get all your essential nutrients and all that stuff. But in terms of
just like, you get tired of potatoes in like one day.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. I don't like potatoes like that. No. Probably just, I don't know, chicken or something like that. I don't know.
There you go.
Stereotypical, just chicken. Just give me buckets of wings.
So I got one last one for you, Aaron. I got one for you. Aaron Freeman, who mostly out of your life, it could be like an athlete, a star, or somebody in your family, who mostly inspired Aaron Freeman? Who do you pull from? Because you inspire a lot of people to do what they do. I want to know, who inspired you to just to be the man you are, or to do what you do, or to be the person you are, or anything like that? Who does Erin Freeman look up to for inspiration, and why?
Well, my actual role model is my father. But just because he deserves his flowers, I'll give some to Peter King, who just retired. And mm-hmm. I remember many, many years ago when FalcFans.com was still running, RIP, I was like, I'm going to write a Monday column just like Peter King. And it's just going to be all about the Falcons. And I did that for like 3.5 years. So I think Peter King is like the GOAT's football sports writer or whatever. So I'll give him his flowers. He definitely inspired me many, many years ago to try to be, you know, something in this industry.
That's a great one.
Thank you, Peter King. If it was no Peter King, we wouldn't have Erin Freeman. So you gotta love that. But one more, Erin. I got one more for you. Just one more before we go. Erin, if it's a potluck, okay, it's a potluck, everybody's bringing something. What's the one dish that you cook that you know everybody that tries say that shit right there, Erin, you hit it out the park? What's the one thing you cook that everybody say is good?
I mean, people love my chicken wings, so, you know.
Love it.
Perfect. Chicken wings. You gotta love it. More racism. More racism at the end of the show. You got to start and end it. You got to love it, man.
Oh, damn. All right, man. We got to rock. I got to get my kid to practice or he's going to have to run laps. So, Erin, dude, thanks so much, man, for coming by. I hope you had some fun, man. And we'll definitely get together again probably before the season starts and hopefully this offseason and talk about who we've drafted and who the free agents are and everything. Since you're not on Twitter anymore, technically you can tell folks, I mean, you are, but you can tell folks where to find you, man, before we get out of here.
Yeah. Locked On Falcons every day, 5 days a week on, you know, YouTube and all your favorite podcast platforms.
Absolutely, man. And you guys can obviously follow us if you want on Twitter or X or whatever, Out of Your Effing Mind on Twitter, Out of Your Falcon Mind on TikTok and Instagram. And guys, we'll be back next Thursday, probably regular time next Thursday. I'm guessing, as long as nothing else messes us up, 7:30. But hey, anybody in the chat tonight, appreciate y'all for coming by early, hanging out with us. And if you're watching it later, watching replay, man, make sure you hit the like button for us so we can get out there to more Falcons fans. Subscribe if you haven't already. I think we're 4 away from 5 away from 1500, Mike. We're getting there, buddy. We're still here, Erin. We're still here, buddy. We're quite further away than we were ahead than we were last time we had you on. So it's good. At least we're going in the right direction. But yeah, man. Thank you guys always for checking us out. And we will catch you next week. Mike, take us out, brother.
We got the GOAT, man. Out of your Falcon mind. Peace.